Birkenstocks are back, which has got to be good music to the ears of Birkenstock executives. The venerable German footwear maker is trying to reach a new customer base by updating its mildly boring design by using trendy colors, leather insoles, and what else but faux fur nicknamed Firkenstocks. Journalist Rebecca Mead took a closer look at Birks for this week's New Yorker magazine. She traveled to Birkenstock headquarters outside Dresden, Germany. Rebecca, what did you learn about this company that began with an actual Mr. Birkenstock?
Well, going way back to the 1700s, there was a cobbler named Birkenstock who made shoes. He wasn't making sandals yet. But in the late 19th century, there was a Birkenstock family, and they were making shoes. And their innovation was to create shoes that had an insole that was shaped to fit the foot. At the time, your insole was typically just a flat piece of leather. It wasn't until the 1960s that one of the descendants, a man called Carl Birkenstock, invented the idea of blending cork and latex together to make the very recognizable, iconic Birkenstock sole, and then to put straps on that to hold it onto the foot. Initially, it was supposed to be an exercise sandal. The idea was that you gripped onto it with your feet, and that kind of toned your leg. There's a wonderful German word, angst reflex, which means fear reflex. And that's the fear reflex that you have, that your foot is going to, the shoe is going to fall off your foot if you don't hold on to it with your toe.
Yes, the Germans have all the good words like that. And so then ultimately, how did they change the style?
Well, you know, he created this exercise sandal in the 1960s and then gradually introduced a few more styles and brands, and it grew. Really, a very important factor in the expansion of the company was an American or a German woman by origin, but she moved to America, a woman called Margot Fraser. And in the 1960s, she was back in Germany. She tried on a pair of these shoes because her feet hurt. She found them in a local store and loved them and started importing them to the United States. And that helped to propel Birkenstock from being a sort of small orthopedic company in Germany to being something much, much larger.
So how is the company keeping up with trends? Or actually, I wonder, it's kind of a trend in and of itself. Does it pay much attention to what's happening in footwear internationally?
Since 2013, there's a new CEO. There are two CEOs at the company, actually. And what he told me is that they're not interested in following fashion cycles and sort of a fashion enthusiasm for the shoe, that what they want and what they're getting is a kind of steady growth rather than everybody's wearing them this year because Miley Cyrus is wearing them and then nobody's wearing them next year because she's throwing them out and replaced them with something else. And what they're doing now with the brand is making very slight tweaks and changes while retaining the core, as they would say, DNA of the brand, which is this cork and latex footbed, doing things like introducing the fur, introducing new colors, new textures, just a slight change. But the other big thing that they're doing is they are finally making shoes and boots that feel inside like a Birkenstock when you're wearing them, but look from the outside not like an orthopedic shoe, but like a, you know, like a decent, fashionable, comfortable, attractive shoe.
And you tried them on?
I tried on a lace-up boot that is lined with fur, and when I put it on, I never wanted to take it off. I know I sound like I'm advertising for them, but I just love this thing.
All right. Now, here's the question. Socks. Do they require socks when you wear the boots? Because, you know, we know that the ultimate Birkenstock wearer wears them with socks for the complete geeky orthopedic look. So how about with the boots?
Well, these boots, the ones that are lined with fur, they told me that, you know, if you have the fur insole as well, you can wear them without socks.
And Birkenstocks, according to your article, is actually getting into the sock business. Is that right?
They are. They are going to start the whole range of socks, and they'll be selling them in some stores this coming fall. Some of them are sort of tweedy or textured or marled or, you know, cable knit and kind of a nice feel to them. I also saw a couple of things that were done, I think, more for show than for anything else. There was one that was a cashmere, more than a sock, it was really a stocking. It had a garter attached to it. So it was sort of like a cable knit sweater for your whole leg. I thought that it was suitable only perhaps for a bride in Lapland.
Yes. By the way, when you mentioned the Boston mule style shoe, Birkenstock shoe, and then there's the traditional Arizona sandal, How much do American tastes influence what Birkenstock as a company manufactures?
Well, it's a big market, so they are an important influence. There are other important influences too. Japan's a very big market. They're very, very popular in Japan. One of the things that Americans like more than Germans is a soft footbed. In America, we tend to think that softness equals comfort. And so Birkenstock makes a kind of a footbed that's cushioned. The Germans are a hardier people, and they tend to think that your feet should be on a hard surface. And while I was in Germany talking to people from Birkenstock, there was a certain amount of raised eyebrows about all the Americans. They like their soft footbed, like, you know, like a sort of pillow top mattress.
Yeah, they have us pegged, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they know what they're doing.
And what about the product itself? Is it still entirely made in Germany?
It is. The company's headquarters are in the west of Germany near Bonn, but the factories are all over Germany. And one of the main ones, and the one that I visited, is in a town in the east near Dresden called Görlitz. It's right on the border with Poland. But as of now, everything is made in Germany. And they're very proud of that fact. You know, that way they can keep control of quality and, you know, in ways that they just couldn't do if they were manufacturing everything in China.
I have one more question about your visit to the headquarters itself. I mean, thinking of this company, which is so much an anti-fashionable piece of fashion wear, did anything defy your expectations about your visit? Either the headquarters itself, the way people, what people wore there? Did they all wear Birks?
They did. Yes. The CEO of the company was wearing these fur Arizonas, the fur sandals, and he was wearing them with bare feet. I was there on a very rainy, cold day in December. I was wearing kind of warm boots, and he sort of laughed in the face of my cold feet and said he was completely fine with these. And until it dropped below freezing, he would be going barefoot in his furry sandals. But the whole place is, you know, it's very sleek, little seating area with cork seats so that it is reminiscent of the cork of the brand. I mean, they're very, very much on message.
Rebecca Mead of The New Yorker talking about the German shoe company Birkenstock. Her article in the current issue of The New Yorker is going to be on our website, hereandnow.org. Nice to speak to you, Rebecca.
Great. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
I don't know. I've never been a Birkenstock person, Lisa.
that speaks well of you. Yeah.